Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
This morning I'm going to talk about hope. And the title I've chosen, which is Hope Springs Eternal, comes from an essay written by a man named Alexander Pope in the 1700s called An Essay on Man, where he begins by saying something that most of us have heard: hope springs eternal in the human breast. Everybody's heard that statement before? Well, there's a lot of other places in literature where the word hope shows up also. In the prayer of St. Francis that I've talked about here before, there's a line where it says, "Lord, where there is despair, let me bring hope." And in Dante's Divine Comedy, The Inferno, over the gates of hell, there is a sign that says, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." So, and then in a more modern context, Dr. Bernie Siegel, I know a number of you are familiar with him. He deals a lot with helping cancer patients to transcend their illness, not to heal it, but to transcend it, through which healing can happen. He once made an interesting statement. He said, "Refusal to hope is nothing more than a decision to die." That's pretty harsh, but an excellent statement. So there's a lot of evidence that this thing that we call hope is an extremely powerful force that's very important to our human experience. Now, hope is an emotion. And like so many of our emotions, hope is neither good nor bad. In fact, like our emotions, it can be both. In some ways, it can be very, very helpful, but in other ways, it distracts us and it keeps us from doing the things that we could be doing to move ourselves forward. So today I want to talk about hope from both sides of that, and maybe a couple other directions too, so we can understand when it helps us and when it doesn't. So first of all, before we talk about hope, let's take a look at this thing that we call the human condition, which is just going through life. Even though we believe in this teaching, as Scotchy was talking about in his reading, that this world is primarily a spiritual experience, we also know that the physical material world is very real too. The big difference between the two is the spiritual world, the spiritual realm, is where thoughts and feelings come from. The spiritual realm is the place, the level, where we exercise things like our creativity and our power to make decisions, because that's the level where we connect with God as spirit to choose whatever it is that we want to create through our thoughts and emotions. So that's why we call the spiritual world the level of cause. Now, the physical realm, on the other hand, which is the world where we live and move and interact with people, is the level where our thoughts and our beliefs and our intentions and our life energy and all those inner things play out into the physical world. So the physical world is where our inner energy shows up as outer stuff. So we call the physical world the law level of what? Effect. So we've got cause at the spiritual realm and effect at the physical realm. So the physical world comes from the spiritual world, but we live in both worlds simultaneously because it's all God. That's what we say all the time. Now, at the physical level, for the most part, we are plagued by uncertainty. We really are. In other words, we don't know what's going to happen an hour from now, let alone a day, a week, a month, or a year from now. So even if we try to control everything that's happening to us and everything that's happening around us, and even when we are very, very careful to do only what we think is right, most of the time, things happen. And sometimes they're bad things, like the events that have been playing out in Orlando yesterday and today. Sometimes there are bad things that happen that we don't expect, which makes us feel a little bit nervous. And at the core of this uncertainty in our life is the scary truth that we have absolutely no idea when we're going to die. I talked about that a few weeks ago. And even after we die, which we all know is going to happen eventually, we don't know what the afterlife is going to be like either. So we've got all these different things that we're a little confused about or uncertain about. So in the normal course of a normal life, there's a whole lot of guesswork going on. Now, for a lot of people, that's a very difficult state to be in, to walk around not knowing anything. But instead of worrying all the time, most of us have had the good sense to adopt a belief in a better or more optimistic future, even when there's no logical reason to believe that such a future even exists. That is what hope is. Believing in a world that we can't yet see. Which means for it to be effective that hope has to be closely connected, closely linked with faith, the way we understand it. Because hope is what encourages us to continue seeking answers to questions that we don't know the answer to unsolved mysteries. Hope is what gets us to keep searching for meaning in what sometimes seems to be a very confusing and very unfriendly world. It also allows us to assume that we're going to go on existing in some way, shape, or form after we die, and to believe, here in the physical level, that all of our deepest desires for love, for security, for happiness, for health, for all those things, will someday become a reality in our life here in the physical world. So for most of us, hope is what allows us to look forward and to believe that the life ahead of us is going to be better than the life behind us, or at least not any worse. That's why hope is the last thing that people ever lose, because when we lose hope, there isn't a whole lot left to live for. Now, unfortunately, stay with me on this, in order to maintain that sense of optimism, people are often willing to believe in almost anything, even if what they believe in makes absolutely no sense, or even if it goes against their inner feeling, their inner intuition of what is true and what isn't. In fact, that's where a lot of religion, traditional religion, actually comes from. That's where religious fanaticism comes from, whether you're talking about Muslim extremists, Christian fundamentalists, or New Age nutcases, of which there are a bunch out there. So, in fact, in many areas of spirituality and religion, going all the way back to when the first human beings started worshiping the sun or the moon or a stone idol, in many of our religious traditions, we have been offered hope in exchange for a suspension of our belief in scientific laws, common sense, and intelligent reasoning. That's true. So the first thing we need to get clear about is that hope should never cause us to ignore the physical and spiritual laws of the universe. It should simply open our heart and open our mind to understanding those laws in a greater way. That's a very subtle difference. You see, many of us use hope to keep us from experiencing the logical consequences of our choices and actions. And that's where it starts to cause us problems. And here's how it works. We look at a condition in the physical world, whether it's in our life or in the world in general, as it appears in front of us right now. Maybe it's poverty or disease or loneliness or whatever it is. And we compare what we see in the physical world to the way we wish things actually were. We compare what we see to the way that we wish things actually were. All right, good. Got it right. Which is fine, because we all want the world to be a better place. But then what happens is, this is where we run into a problem, instead of seeing the disparity between the unpleasant condition that we see and what we would like to see, and doing what we need to do creatively, which is change our belief, change our expectation, or change our behavior, we start hoping harder and harder that something is going to show up or something's going to happen and change on their own without our having to think or do anything different. That's why people hope that the tumor goes away on its own. We hope that the company calls us back after they lay us off. We hope our ex will come back so we won't be alone. We hope we win the lottery so that we're going to be wealthy. So we hope, we hope, we hope. And what usually happens when we hope is nothing. Nothing. Why? That's the easy part, if you understand the spiritual laws that are at work. You see, the reason nothing happens a lot of times when we hope is because we are focusing nearly all of our energy on the situation we don't want. That's first. And at the same time, we're also focusing on what is not happening and what we don't have. Not only that, we're also frequently hoping that someone or something outside of us, usually God, will make something better happen because we're convinced that we can't do it ourselves. Now, most of us are thought to think of hope as the opposite of despair. Those are the two ends of the spectrum. So hope is the belief that there's always a way for things to get better. It's a feeling that as long as we don't give up, as long as we stay positive and expect things to get better, then a solution will eventually present itself. But despair, we have to understand that, comes when we assume that things will never get any better and we give up. Now, Giving up in and of itself is not a bad thing. Sometimes giving up can be a very constructive and empowering step in moving on to a whole new level of growth. Sometimes we may have to give up on a job or give up on an idea or give up on a relationship or an investment. Once we finally realize that we've done everything we can, we've learned everything we need to learn, we may need to let it go so something better can show up. There's nothing wrong with that. However, if we just give up anytime things get difficult, anytime we don't like it, and we don't think about the part that we played in that situation, we're probably going to end up creating it all over again. But if we put forth an honest effort to learn and grow from that experience and bless and release all the parties involved, including ourselves, then we can move forward. Now, people do get lost in despair, and despair usually hits us when we try to hold on to an unhappy or unhealthy situation, even when something inside of us knows that it's time to leave or let it go. And what happens is we hold on to it so tightly, trying to keep things, even though part of us is telling us we don't need to be doing this anymore, and it either blows up in our face or it gets torn from our life against our will. Then instead of saying, well, I guess it's time to move on, and doing that, we take to our bed and we pine away over what we've lost, Velcro on the forehead kind of thing, okay, deeply believing with all of our heart that we'll never be happy again. That's what happens when people get lost in despair. The point is, even though hope is always better than despair, sometimes neither one is what we need. Now, let me give you a sad but very good example from years ago. There was a drought in northern Africa, all right? This is a world thing, and the world was hoping to save millions of people who were starving and at risk. I think it was in Biafra. Was that about 20 years ago? And there was a man, a comedian by the name of Sam Kinison. Anybody remember him? Interesting guy. He was more of a social commentator than a comedian. He looked at things and said out loud things that people were thinking but didn't want to say. And they were talking to him, not a routine, it was an interview, and he said, even though it was all very nice for the world to be doing concerts and all these things, hoping that this problem could be averted, the world also needed to acknowledge that most of the people who were starving because of the drought were living in a desert. He was pointing that out. And a desert, no matter how much we may hope otherwise, is a place that is susceptible to droughts and not very hospitable to feeding a large population. So in the short term, what he pointed out, it was very interesting, instead of bringing hope, the world was just trying to avoid despair, which is a very different thing. So something concrete, something visionary needed to be done, not just hoping, not just sort of doing surface stuff. Something had to be done to either limit the population or, more importantly, and this was his whole point, to solve the political and religious conflicts that existed that was keeping the food from getting to the people. Totally different approach than just hoping something was going to get better. Now, this is not just about optimism versus pessimism. All right. Both optimism and pessimism are simply states of consciousness. They're a specific combination of thoughts and feelings. All right. What we need to realize is the thoughts, whether thoughts of despair or thoughts of hope, whichever they happen to be, are not forced into our consciousness by a situation. They are simply attitudes that we choose to experience either consciously or unconsciously based upon how we are perceiving what's going on. All right, or how empowered we feel about doing something. Which means if we can only transform the way we are looking at the situation instead of just hoping for something better, and we can start to see our options differently, that will transform our attitude, which will change the situation itself. That's the level we need to be at. All right? You know, in one sense, our ability to experience hope in a useful way is related to race consciousness, because we tie into the fact of what the world tells us being true. And if the world assumes that something can't be fixed or that something has to be fixed in a certain way, and we accept that viewpoint, then hoping for change isn't going to help us very much, because part of us believes it's not going to happen. But if we learn to see the world's opinion as nothing more or less than a belief based frequently on history, ignorance, or prejudice of some kind, and we refuse to allow the world's belief to become our belief, then hope for a better future becomes a definite possibility. Why? Because then we are opening our mind to a greater possibility that we know can and does exist within the mind of God, within the one universal mind from which all solutions come. And as we continue to move forward, mentally, emotionally, and physically, but especially spiritually, we will start making choices and making decisions that are in harmony with our hopeful state of mind. And as a result, the specific thing that we hoped for may or may not happen. Or it may not happen in the way we wanted it or thought it would happen, but something will happen that transcends the undesirable situation that we were caught up in, because now we're open to something better. So that means things will get better if we allow them to, which is really all we wanted in the first place. Now, some people lose hope because they have become habituated to pessimistic beliefs. Anybody got somebody in your life who is habituated to pessimistic beliefs? Anyone you're related to? I've got a few of those. In other words, we can create a bias in our own mind, embracing a belief that life is unfair, nothing good ever happens, and no one understands us, and all those other things. And if we keep on thinking that way, as so many people do, we start to lose confidence or lose respect for our own ability to change things in our world until finally we just figure we deserve what we get. And once we convince ourselves of that, we don't have any hope for changing things, especially if we believe that God wants it that way. You see, as crazy as it seems, the reason people get attached to thinking pessimistically, you can't really blame them. Even though it's self-destructive or even self-defeating, when we become accustomed, when a person becomes accustomed to living in despair, they don't have to take responsibility for their problems anymore. Now they've got an excuse, okay? We all know that pessimism is very popular, but there's a reason for it, which is pessimism allows someone to suffer in comfort because now they have an excuse. Now they have an excuse. The world is against me. That's just the way it is. Now, how does this apply to us on a day-to-day basis? Let's talk about that. Because most of us are not caught up in the depths of despair all the time. We may know some people who are, but most of us in here especially are generally optimistic people. We may be pessimistic 10, 20% of the time on a bad day, but most of us are usually pretty optimistic. But even though we are, notice how often we use the word hope. I listened this morning and three different people used the word hope just in conversation with me. It was very, very interesting. When we write a letter to somebody, we say, I hope you're doing well. If we're working on a project, like on our computer, we say, I hope this works. I say that a lot. If we have the flu and we're out of circulation, we tell our friends, I'm hoping to feel better tomorrow. And you may say, well, that's just polite conversation, which it is, but it's important to realize what we are saying on a daily basis in order to understand how we deal with the bigger things in our life. What we don't realize is when we focus our intention on achieving a certain result, but we finish our thought by saying something like, I hope it turns out well, then we sabotage ourselves. What we are doing is we're putting a certain thought into consciousness with a desire to make it happen, and then we immediately use language that gives power to its opposite. That's what we do, okay? Or think of it this way. When we say, I hope this works, we are implying that it might not. If we say, I hope to feel better tomorrow, we are implying that there's a chance we won't. Now, this may not sound like a big deal to some of you, but and at the level of social chit-chat, it really isn't. But when we do it, we're practicing something that I call conditional creation. Conditional creation. In other words, what we're saying to the universe is, this is what I'm ready to have happen, unless something happens to screw it up, in which case, never mind. That's the way we're talking to the universe. And when our thoughts are as creative as Scotchy was reading, that sort of doesn't get things going the way we want them to go. Now, let's move things up a notch here. Let's start to look at it, how it can affect our life directly. Let's say I'm going to a job interview. So I'm saying to myself, my affirmations, I'm qualified, I'm well-dressed, I'm polite, I'm incredibly talented, I'm the perfect person for this job, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. We say it all the time. Or how about a medical condition? I know I am a healthy, whole, and complete person. I'm blessed with a body that knows how to heal. I know that wellness is my natural condition. I just hope the surgery goes well. I just hope the new medication does what it's supposed to do. all right? In a relationship, I know I am handsome, charming, brilliant. I know I have a lot to offer. All of this is true. I just hope he or she likes me, all right? You see what it does to our mentality? We switch things around at the end. In The Science of Mind, Dr. Holmes has a very powerful statement on this. He says, hope is a subtle illusion and an unconscious compromise. Very interesting. Hope is a subtle illusion and an unconscious compromise. But is he saying that we should never be hopeful about anything? No, not necessarily. In fact, F. Scott Fitzgerald, one of my favorite authors, once wrote this. He said, one should be able to see things as hopeless and yet be determined to make them otherwise. One should be able to see things as hopeless, but not get lost in that hopelessness, okay? To recognize that you can make them otherwise. And that statement actually holds the key. You see, hope should never be an attitude that we adopt in an effort to change something in the world that isn't working the way we want, or something that is working in a perfectly natural, logical, and reasonable way. Hoping that an opportunity is going to come to us that we have not earned by right of consciousness is asking God to make an exception for us. That's really what it is. But God, as the law, doesn't make exceptions, all right? It's a law. It works, it creates through logical, intelligent, and understandable principles. So if we're working with the law, using our thoughts, putting them into consciousness from the inner world to the outer world, in the way the law works, we will achieve the law, the result that law was meant to produce. But if we don't, no amount of hope is going to change it. So here's how this applies. Hoping for love without giving love will never bring us love. That's one statement. Hoping for prosperity without sharing our good will never bring us prosperity. Hoping for fame and fortune and success without doing the work we need to do to learn will not create success in our life. And all of these are true for one reason, and that is hope is not creative. Hope is not creative. Now, hope may shift us around a little bit so we're headed in the right direction, so it's not worthless. It may keep us from getting lost in the dark place sometimes, but it will never carry us through to a desired end because hope demands nothing of the universe and it demands nothing of us. It just doesn't, all right? It's nothing more than a soft and gentle emotion that softens our pain and keeps us from giving up. And it's an okay to place to stop and rest when you need to, but we don't want to try and live there. Don't want to try and live there. I think Dr. Tom Costa once said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not stop and build a condominium. All right? Don't stay there. Some people do. So, with all that being said, I got some homework for you for next week. All right? First of all, I want you to notice when and how often you use the word hope. Okay, that's not hard. If you're with somebody here, you can point it out to each other. But then, when you do, I want you to consciously and immediately replace it with something else. For example, instead of saying, I hope you're well, say, I trust that you're well. It's just a little thing. Instead of saying, I hope this works, say, I know this is going to work. Change your language a little. If someone, says something encouraging to you, instead of saying, I hope you're right, you can say from your mouth to God's ears, whatever you want to say. It doesn't really matter. And once you get good at using it on the little things, practice using it on the big things. And then see how it makes you feel. Feel the empowerment that comes from that. Pay attention to what it does to your thinking, because now you're thinking about what you're talking about, which is always a good thing. Now, I suggest this as homework because it's an interesting exercise in self-awareness, which is always a good thing. And whether or not you agree, a little self-awareness is always a good thing to get us rolling. So try the exercise, see what you think, and I don't hope it's going to work. I know it's going to work. And this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. All right. Thank you. Okay. A lot of ideas swirling around. Take those that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let's recognize this. I do not have to hope for a better idea of God because I have a good idea of God. I have a recognition of what this power is. I'm not concerned over whether or not this power supports me. It does. I am not concerned whether life is good or not. It is. I am not concerned whether or not I am the best person to be where I am at this time, because I am. And as I recognize all of this, I begin to replace the confusion and ambiguity in life with a certainty that life is good, with a certainty that Spirit is everywhere around me, through me, and existing in the world as me, with the awareness that all the things that I see that may look bad in the world do not need to happen and do not need to continue. I recognize all the things like violence and disease and poverty are simply false ideas that are being supported by ignorance. So I recognize that peace is the greater idea, and I don't need to hope for it. I need to accept it as the truth. I recognize that prosperity is not something I need to hope for myself or the world. It is something I need to accept because the gift has already been given. I recognize that health and love are mine, not to hope for, but to embrace, because all good has been given by life itself freely to every single person, including you and me. So as I recognize these ideas, my mind is transformed, my thoughts are changed, I begin to see not the worst, hoping it'll get better, but the best ready to appear in everything I see. And as I do this, my relationships get better, my work life gets more interesting, and all of my relationships get deeper and richer. This is the power I have simply by knowing the truth. I give thanks for this awareness. I give thanks for all that has been given to me and all that I have yet to give. And I embrace these ideas as my own, allowing them to enter my consciousness, yours, and the one mind, the one consciousness of the world, and to become the truth in my life. I accept it and release it, and so it is.